I would have got away with it if Jess hadn't gone to the toilet, but it never occurred to me that she'd be nosing around where she had no business. She came back grinning all over her stupid face. In one hand she had the poster of the girl, and in the other the poster of the blackfella, the footballer. "Whose are these?" I stood up and shouted, "Put those back!" "Do you even know who these people are?" she said. "They're Matty's posters. I chose them for him. I knew that the girl was called Buffy because that's what it said on the poster. I thought it would be nice for Matty to have an attractive young woman around the place because he's that age now, and I knew that the black fella played for Arsenal. John at church goes to Highbury every week, so I asked him if he'd bring me back a picture for my lad next time he went to a game. John bought a great big picture and didn't even want paying for it. I chose the posters the same as all the other things. The tapes, the books, the football boots, the computer games and the videos, the camera and the Walkman, lots of watches. A whole unlived teenage life. Matty took over the whole flat in the end. Stuff everywhere. This all began years ago, when I decided to redecorate his bedroom. He was 8, and he still slept in a nursery. Clowns on the curtains, rabbits on the frieze. It was all peeling away and it looked terrible. Perhaps rocket ships and footballers were the right sort of thing. He didn't know what any of those things were, but what was I supposed to do? Paint the walls white, plain curtains. But where does it stop? Does that mean you can never buy him a T-shirt with a word on it, because he'll never read? Talking to him is ridiculous, smiling at him, kissing him on the head. Everything I do is pretending, so why not pretend properly? In the end, I went for trains on the curtains and your man from Star Wars on the lampshade. I started buying comics to see what a lad of his age might be reading about, and we watched Saturday morning television together, so I learned a little bit about pop singers he might like. These things helped me to see Matty in a strange sort of a way. He supports Arsenal. He likes fishing. He likes pop music, but not the sort where people sing half naked and use a lot of swear words. "They belong to Matty," I said. "Oh, he's a big fan of..." "Put them back," said Martin, "or get out. How much of a bitch do you really want to be?" One day, I'll learn to say that for myself.
Matty's posters weren't mentioned again. We were curious, of course, but Jess set things up so that you were either for her or against her, and in this matter, as in so many others, we were against her, which meant staying quiet on this issue. But because we resented being made to stay quiet, we became aggressive on any other issue we could bring to mind. "You can't stand your dad, can you?" I asked her. "Nah, he's a tosser." "But you live with him." "How can you stick it, man?" JJ asked her. "Can't afford to move out. Plus, they've got a cleaner and cable and broadband." "Ah, to be young and idealistic," I said. "Anti-globalisation, pro-cleaner, eh?" "Plus, there's the gen thing. They worry." "We were sorry to hear about your sister," said Maureen. "Yeah, well, got used to it now." "Must be a strange thing to have to get used to," I said. "Can't we talk about what we're supposed to be talking about, what we're going to do about the papers and that?" "They'll forget about us soon, you know." "And what if we don't want them to forget?" said Jess. "Why the hell would we want them to remember? We could make some dosh. People would be interested in us." "You're mad." "Exactly. That's why they'd be interested in me. And you, they'd want to know how you fucked up your life with the girl. And JJ, they'd want to know about pizzas and all that. And Maureen could tell everyone about Matty. And we could say that we still haven't decided whether we're going to actually top ourselves. They'd like that."
"And if we sold the TV rights to Valentine's Night, they could turn it into a Big Brother sort of thing? You could root for the person you wanted to go over," said JJ.
"The truth is," I said, "there is some interest in us at the moment. If the four of us went to a newspaper, we could earn a few quid."
"But what's the story?" said JJ. We went up, we came down. That's it.
How about if we saw something? Said Jess.
Like what?
An angel.
An angel, said JJ flatly.
I didn't see an angel, said Maureen.
No one saw an angel, I explained. Jess is proposing that we invent a spiritual experience for financial gain.
Well, it's not really inventing, said Jess.
No. In what sense did we actually see an angel?
Well, you know, in poems, sometimes you say something is like something. You know, my love is like a rose or whatever.
Metaphors.
Exactly. Well, we didn't literally see an angel, but we sort of did metaphorically. I mean, something turned us back, saved our lives. Why not an angel?
I lost patience. We didn't see an angel, literally or metaphorically. That's bullshit. Sorry, Maureen.
But if we get on telly and, you know, spread our message...
We all stared at her. Our message. How was one supposed to argue with a mind like this? The three of us contented ourselves with ridicule and sarcasm. The afternoon ended with an unspoken agreement that we would allow the current interest in our mental health to dwindle away to nothing. And then a couple of hours after I got home, there was a phone call from Theo asking me why I hadn't told him that I'd seen an angel.